The following podcast is a live recording of a radio show first broadcast by Fresh FM with assistance from New Zealand On Air. Fresh FM is a community access media station based in Te Tauihu, the top of the South Island, New Zealand.
Well, good morning, folks. Here we are again. It's Sunday morning, and it's time for Call to Worship. It's a pleasure to be here, Willie. Good to see you.
Yes, thank you, Tom. Yeah, lovely to be here too.
Yes. Welcome to everybody as you join us on Fresh FM this morning as we share these thoughts together. We had a little discussion this morning around Revelation 20 and around this time when Jesus comes back to the earth to save his people. And I'd just like to, as part of the welcome this morning, invite you to have a prayer with us together, that we just close our eyes. And dear Jesus, we thank you this morning that we can be together. We thank you for this time and this peaceful place. And as we share your word and as we listen to this music that points us to you, we just ask your blessing. Those who are listening, and Lord, you know their needs, whatever it might be, we just ask this morning that your spirit will be a calming influence, and that this next hour will just be free of worry, just to enjoy and praise you. And we just thank you for this in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Well, I thought we'd open this morning, Willie, with a verse here from 1 Thessalonians.
Yes.
4:16. I'll just read this. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. After that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will be with the Lord forever. Therefore, encourage each other with these words. So here's this wonderful picture at the end of time, isn't it? This is the second coming of Jesus. Those in the graves, the Bible tells us that when Jesus comes, his people will be raised. Those who are believers will be raised from the dead, from the graves, and those who are alive, his people, together, they will all be taken up to heaven, wherever that is. And this starts this 1,000 years. A couple of things that are interesting about this, Willie, isn't it? The dead are obviously not in heaven, are they? They're in the graves, according to what Paul is telling us here, because when Jesus comes back, he doesn't bring them back from heaven. He raises them from the dead. And Jesus talks about this as a sleep, this death, isn't it?
Yes.
Just sleeping until Jesus comes. So the good news is those who live by faith will be raised again. Unfortunately, those who are not in Christ, who are not believers living in hope, they will remain in the grave, those who are not Christ's people, if you like. And those who are not Christ's people will be destroyed by the brightness of his coming. And we're going to look in this as you start us off in the book of Revelation shortly. So this is good news. And Paul says that we should encourage one another with this news. And the big question today is, it, am I in Jesus? Am I in Christ? Am I hanging on in hope to that great gift that he has given me of eternal life? And so that's our opening this morning as we head into this little time of discussion. And let's start now with a lovely song that leads in beautifully. Have you been to Jesus?
Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you fully trusting in his grace this hour? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you washed in the blood?
In the blood,
in the soul cleansing blood.
Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb?
Are you washed in the blood?
In the blood,
in the soul cleansing blood of the Lamb. Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? When the bridegroom cometh, will your pure and white in the blood of the Lamb? Will your soul be ready for the mansions bright and be washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you washed in the blood?
In the blood,
in the soul cleansing blood of the Lamb. Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Lay aside the garments that are stained with sin and be washed in the blood of the Lamb. There's a fountain flowing for the soul unclean. Oh, be washed in the blood of the Lamb.
Are you washed
in the blood?
In the blood,
in the soul cleansing blood of the Lamb. Are your garments spotless? Are they white?
Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb?
Amen. Praise the Lord. Our salvation depends on no other name but on Jesus' name. And this morning we continue our discussion here by me reading Revelations 20, verse 1, 2, and 3. And I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. And he had hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years, and cast him into the bottomless pit, and shut him up, and set a seal upon him, that he should not deceive the nation no more, till the 1,000 years should be fulfilled. And after that, he must be loosened a little season. Well, this is a very interesting reading, Tom, because obviously what you read before from Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians 4:16-17 was the coming, second coming of Jesus. But before the second coming of Jesus, that we see that an angel came down. It's not, and we have this vision of an angel coming down with a literal chain and trying to bound Satan, you know, 2-3 times to keep him here. But it's actually symbolizing God's power.
Yes.
And what he's doing here in the first verse is God having to put Satan, bound him to this earth. It's like a sentence of Satan to restrict him from going anywhere else.
Yes.
But bound on earth, so he could actually probably see what he's done to the earth, because the earth will be in ruins, and the saints are up in heaven for 1,000 years, right?
Yes, it appears that this is really the first time that the devil has been restricted to the earth.
Yes.
And so this, as you say, this is sort of punishment, isn't it? So this is the Revelation 20 is about this 1,000-year period with the two resurrections.
Yes.
So we've had the first resurrection, mm-hmm. and God's people have been taken up to heaven. And yes. Now, as you say, the devil now, there's nobody left on the earth. Everything is dead. Everything is wasted because of the second coming of Jesus. But the devil and his mates are left behind.
Yes, that's right. Only them, and they've got no one else to tempt.
No.
Of course, later on we'll catch up on that, and it says that he'll be loosened for a little while.
Yeah.
But, in the meantime, I suppose we better go to the second song, Tom?
Yes,
so
let's do that.
Our second song's by well-known singer Harry Sickham, and I Believe.
I believe for every drop of rain that falls, a flower grows. I believe that somewhere in the darkest night a candle glows. I believe for everyone who goes astray, someone will come to show the way. I believe above the storm, the smallest prayer will still be heard. I believe that someone in the great somewhere hears every word. Every time I hear a newborn baby cry,
Well done, Harry. What a lovely song. It'll be
beautiful song.
While Harry's gone, the song will last forever, won't it?
Yes.
Well, we're talking about this 1,000-year period of time that's in Revelation 20. We talk about it being the millennium. It's not a word that's in the Bible, but it just means 1,000 years. First resurrection, and then the end of the 1,000 years, another resurrection that we'll get to later. But I want to pick up in verse 4 now. This is really interesting. John's in vision here. He's God showing a picture. And in vision, he says, I saw thrones on which were seated those who had been given authority to judge. And I saw the souls of those who had been beheaded because of their testimony for Jesus and because of the word of God. They had not worshipped the beast, nor his image, and had not received his mark on their forehead or in their hands. They came to life and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. He's just telling us again, yes, these people are part of the righteous group at the end that Jesus raised, either out of the grave, and we think most of these will have come up out of the grave, these people who've died as martyrs,
mm-hmm.
but it doesn't tell you who they are. He just says there's a group of people here. We could sort of guess and say, well, I'd imagine John the Baptist would be there. Maybe Stephen, who was martyred.
Yes.
We don't know. It doesn't tell us that. And here we see this picture of the saints judging the sinners, if you like.
Mm-hmm.
And the only other time we see this is John makes one reference to it back in the book of Corinthians, where he said to the folks when they were talking about being going to the local courts and taking each other to court, and he has this one thought where he says, don't you know that you will judge yourselves? And he also, interesting enough, has this another thought that he mentions, a one-off thing, where he says about baptizing for the dead. And so this is a one-off comment that Paul makes. And here we see this here. So logically we think, okay, what would be the purpose of God's people judging the wicked? Because they've already been judged in that they are not part of the kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
So they've already been judged in reality, haven't they? So
yes.
Looking around a lot of commentators here, some commentators said, this again isn't to be taken literally, but let's go back and see what the history is. These people who were judged so wrongly and so cruelly by Rome, mm-hmm. and kings and religious people, John is saying, hey, don't worry. You're in heaven now. This is reversed. Nobody's judging you anymore. In fact, you can judge them. And I thought that was an interesting thought, that he's saying, hey, when God saves you, everything is reversed. They will not judge you anymore. In fact, you'll judge them. And I don't think we can read into this from one verse from Paul that somehow we're going to judge people and make any difference to what God has already done, because he's already decided who are going to be saved and who are going to be lost, aren't they? So this is an interesting concept. And this makes some sense to me. We know that later on we're going to read about a judgment here that Daniel foretold way back there. So here we get this picture, and what it's really saying, I think John is really saying, hey, you are now the people of authority. You're going to reign with Christ for 1,000 years. This is this idea of being part of the kingship new world, if you like, isn't it? You're going to reign with Christ. You are in charge. these people are no longer judging you and giving you a hard time. You will actually judge them. So I think this is the idea here that's coming through from John so strongly, which is reassuring the people, hey, if we have to go to the very nth degree for Jesus, don't worry. You are going to be in a place of authority in the kingdom. So this again is just John encouraging message that comes. John didn't write this message till about 90 years after Jesus had died, and he wrote it for us to be encouraged as we read this, that God is a God of victory, and we're going to be part of that victory. Well, we've got another song here that ties in beautifully with this, Willie. It's one of my favourites, The Goodness of God. It's a great message, isn't it? Let's hear this song.
Yeah.
Amen. This is Call to Worship, and it's Willie and Tom here, and we're discussing Revelations 20. And I'll be reading from Revelations 5 and 6. But the rest of the dead lived not again until 1,000 years were complete. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death had no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. Yeah, very interesting verses there, Tom. I mean, the Bible does say that God has perfect knowledge.
Yes.
So he knows everything, right?
So this separates, doesn't it? Here he says, look, so we've just read before that at the start of the 1,000 years,
yes,
all those people of God come up out of the grave, or they're still alive on the earth, and they are caught up with the Lord and go off to heaven.
Yes.
And but he's telling us here that there is a group of dead who did not come to life at the first resurrection. He said those dead, now, of course, that includes all those who've died, who were killed by the brightness of Jesus coming, who are anti-God, yes, anti-Christ, yes, if yes, you like, not his people.
Mm-hmm.
They're all dead.
Yes.
And John says, you've got to understand now, for 1,000 years, they're going to just stay dead. And then he says, the rest of the dead, they come to life after the 1,000 years,
yes,
which is the second resurrection. And then he reminds us, he said, the first resurrection is a great blessing, because those who are raised in that, they are raised to reign with God forever.
Yes.
So really, all judgment is complete. And I know we're going to read about some more judgment scene here, but God has sorted who is his before he comes in the second coming. What are they decided by? A judgment to see how well they're keeping the Ten Commandments? No, they judged, are they in Christ? And this is why Paul says in Romans 8:1, there is no condemnation for those in Christ Jesus. Those in Christ will be saved.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
They won't be saved because they get through some judgment on how well they use their gifts, or how well they've kept the Ten Commandments, or how righteous they think they are. Because Jesus tells us that before he comes, before he takes us to heaven, he has to change our bodies. And he takes us from our sinful nature and makes us like himself, or takes us back to what Adam was when he started off. And so before we go to heaven,
mm-hmm,
we will be 100% sinless. And I like the fact that Revelation 21 says that God says, I will make all things new. So we're not going to be people who scrape through a judgment and go to heaven. We're going to be new people. We're not going to be the people we were before, according to Scripture. All things are new. So suddenly, we were talking about this in our home group last night.
Mm-hmm.
Suddenly we're a people who don't have a wrong thought, who are not selfish, who will never question God's goodness, because we're like Adam and Eve. We are perfect in our thinking, in our being, in our body. So we're new, aren't we? And God does that, not us. We don't get through a judgment and God says, well, right, you've got through that now, I can take you to heaven. He says, no, I'm going to completely make you new, like I made Adam and Eve new. And so salvation comes through the blood of the Lamb. Jesus said, you want to come to the Father where I am in heaven?
Mm-hmm.
You come through me or you don't come. So we see here that John's just backing this up, saying, hey, these dead, it's over. It's over. Even though we're going to talk shortly about a judgment for the, mm-hmm, dead, nobody is going to come through this judgment, because
it's been made up. Decisions been made.
Those, yep, who are with Jesus are already in heaven, aren't they? And so it's good news, this. It's very encouraging.
Yes.
That it's not how good I am, it's how good he is that gets me to heaven, isn't it?
Yes, I just think there, Tom, that when Jesus comes the first time, the decision's been made, right?
Mm.
So the people that are on earth, the people who are dead, the lost,
yeah,
and people, the saved, and the people that are living are the people that have the mark of the beast at the time of his coming,
yeah,
and the people who have the seal of God.
That's
so
it.
When he comes, the wicked be destroyed, the saved be taken up to heaven for a thousand years. Now, that thousand years with it's just another view that I'm bringing across to you, that because the accusation of Satan against God, that he's unfair, and that, you know, when Paul referenced that little thing about the saints shall judge the in heaven, given, I think that is just to like vindicate God's goodness. That's God has already met the judgment. These saints are there because God is fair, and before God will finally surely destroy the wicked, he wants these saints to look and say, have a look, because surely we have people who will be lost, our own relations who would be lost, and the saints are there just to look at. So the idea, I have a thing here, a little saying here. It says that, what does it teach us about God's character that before any of the sleeping are lost, any of the sleeping lost are resurrected to face the second death, the saved will be involved in judging the process, and no one will be punished until to see the justice and the fairness of God. So I think it's just to...
So I'm aware of the commentator who says this, but my answer would be this. God says, I'm going to make all things new. In heaven, we will not question the goodness of God. We will not be... Because we're perfect... Adam didn't wake up and say, well, look, God, I think you should convince me that you're just. He was perfect. God's perfect.
Yes.
So in the new earth, we will be perfect. God is perfect. It, also, Jesus said, look, in heaven there'll be no sorrow, no tears. Now, if we start going back to who's not in heaven and why they're not there, that will bring sadness. That will bring tears because Auntie Mary's not here. So I don't agree with that. Okay. I'm no theologian, a lot of commentators say you've got to remember we're not just patched up, we're a new being. And this new being will not have a question on God's goodness. They are in heaven, they are perfect, and why on earth would you want to go back and dig all that up? I don't think there's going to be much joy in that. So I know that that's one, and it doesn't really matter, does it? But it doesn't make a lot of sense when you think this through.
Because when you also think, Tom, that we're there for 1,000 years and then we come back to earth to see the wicked destroyed, you know, and I mean, it's just a point of discussion anyway, because you just think when you've gone up there and you haven't seen your friends at church or your neighbors and all that, you'd be asking, where are they?
Well, I don't think you will, because you're going to be a completely new being. This is not a fixed up Willy, is it?
No, this is
not Willy who has scraped his way through some kind of judgment and God has patched you up and here you are. No, you are a new creation. All things are gone. All things are new. And I don't believe we'll go back and deal with any of that old stuff, because now we've moved on. We're a new creation. We're at one with God. We're with God. We're face to face. And so I don't think we'll go back into all that old stuff. I understand that those in the 1800s put some things in here that they think was had some value. But the Bible's very clear that we choose our own judgment. It's not a judgment of God that puts us out of the kingdom. it's us not choosing him.
We have free will.
The Bible says we choose our own end, don't we?
Mm.
We choose Jesus and the free gift, or we're lost if we choose against God. So I know that this figurative thing of judgment keeps coming up all the time, but I think it is saying this is how the world judges everybody. And so he uses this kind of language,
mm-hmm.
but we go to heaven from a free gift, don't we?
Yes.
If you put going into a judgment and living up to some standard or other to get past, then it's salvation by works.
Yep.
And so Jesus said, no, accept the free gift.
Yes.
But let me say this so nobody misunderstands me. Jesus said, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. God's people want to follow Jesus in everything. They want keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus, don't they? They are law-abiding in terms of what Christ is asking for. So they are, we can use the word obedient, can't we?
Yes.
God's people are obedient. This is the standard, no doubt about that. But their obedience is not going to get them to heaven or through some judgment or other.
Yep.
Hey, I'm rambling on here, Willie. You might want to have a song.
Yeah. So you're listening to Call to Worship. Friends, welcome. We're discussing Revelation 20 with Tom. Also, you're listening to the Fresh FM on 104.8 Nelson, 107.2 Nelson CBD, 95 on Eastern Golden Bay, and 88.9 in Blenheim. And welcome. And our next song here is Open the Eyes of My Heart. God bless you this morning.
To see you high. that prayer once again.
Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see
you. Wow, great song there, Willie, wasn't it? Now we're into some heavy stuff here this morning, and we come into verse 7 here, and we find that John now flicks through right to the end of time. And so we're just going to flick through with him. He's sharing thoughts here, and remember that this is John's thoughts. God didn't say write this down for word. This is John explaining as he sees this happening.
Mm-hmm.
And so verse 7. And when the 1,000 years are over, Satan will release from his prison, and he will go to deceive the nations. And if I can paraphrase this, what happens is, at the end of the 1,000 years, the second resurrection happens. That's all those who are not in Christ, who are not going to be in the new earth.
Mm-hmm.
They're all raised, and they see the new Jerusalem coming down to rest on the earth.
Yes.
And this is where God says, I will make all things new, because the whole earth is a shambles, isn't it? Everything is destroyed, and now he recreates the whole thing. And the fallen people see this beautiful new creation. And the new Jerusalem is really the Garden of Eden, if you like, being reintroduced to the earth again, isn't it? Back to this beautiful, perfect Garden of Eden. We as the saints are perfect people. We're back to where Adam and Eve were, if you like, in reality, aren't we? And so, but the devil says to his mates, hey, this is where the Bible says he's loose now, the chains are taken off.
Yes,
and
for a while.
He says to his mates, right, this is our chance. We are going to attack this new city and take it over from God. I mean, that's been his plan all along, hasn't it? But what's the result of this? Willie, do you want to read verse 10 for us?
Okay, verse 10. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever.
Yes, that's an interesting thought, that forever and ever. And we come back to the Hebrew here. When he uses this term here, forever and ever, the Bible says that Sodom and Gomorrah would burn forever and ever. Well, if you go over there today, Willie, do you think you'll find it still burning?
No.
So what it means is he's talking here about a fire that consumes. A fire doesn't prolong things, does it? It consumes it.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the punishment that will consume those
until they're gone.
Yeah,
dead.
The devil and his mates, that false religion system that the Bible calls Babylon, the people of that, and sadly all those who have rejected the gift that's been offered so freely for them. So this is literally the end of all things, isn't it?
But even with God's enemies, like the people that are lost and going to be burned in the fire, you still see God's fairness, God's love coming through, hence the reason they're not going to be burning forever.
No, it's a terrible teaching that some folk have taken up, and I think in the Dark Ages, a very effective way of keeping your church very fearful, and sadly, this Babylonian, this religious system through the Dark Ages developed a message of fear, of guilt, and they were preached at in such a way that Jesus was taken out, wasn't he? Taken out of the sanctuary, Daniel says. Jesus removed. And that role in the sanctuary of Jesus was to be the blood of, be the lamb. And so this religious power has taken Jesus out of the sanctuary.
Yes.
And that role is gone. And now the system is saying, no, we have the keys to the kingdom. You come to us and we will say whether you can go to heaven or not.
Yes, and so I think that's why the when the disciples asked Jesus to give us a sign of your coming, the first thing Jesus said was, be reminded not to be deceived.
Yes.
Because it could be false teaching.
Yeah.
And hence, if you receive the false teaching, you'll miss out on eternal life. And
well, I think one of the great signs of the last day movement, the last day church, if you like, is that they preach the everlasting gospel and they believe the Ten Commandments are the very character
Amen.
Of God.
Yep, yep.
And so it's vitally important, isn't it, that they preach that gospel that goes right back to the get-go, that Jesus is the way.
Yes.
You are not going to be judged and thrown in hell to burn forever if you're not a good person.
That's right.
That's a man-made teaching. And a lot of our understanding of judgment come from that kind of thinking.
Mm.
You know, if you can't meet the standard, God's going to burn you forever.
Yes.
But if you are good and holy, then you'll be all right.
Yes.
Well, of course, that puts immense fear into people's hearts, doesn't it? So that's not the idea of the gospel.
Thinking Jesus that said, salvation's by works.
Yeah.
Yes.
Salvation by works.
Yes.
Jesus said to me, Jesus says to us through the scripture, those who believe me have already passed from death to life.
Yes.
He's not going to, and I love the text where Jesus said, and I'll remember your sins no more. He says that in the Old Testament to the people. Your sins are gone, and I won't even remember them. No, there is no judgment where you're going to stand and answer for your mistakes. That's the good news of the gospel, isn't it?
Goodness, Tom.
So, hey, we better do a song, had we, Willie?
Yes.
Oh, this is a great song, isn't it? Now, you're going to introduce this one, aren't you? Yeah, no, we can do it. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Did we just do that one?
We just done that. I think goodness of God or the...
We did the goodness of God. Hey, can we go to number 7, great and blessed?
What's the other one? Yep, sure.
That's a good tie-in with what we're doing, isn't it? Highly favoured, greatly blessed, imperfect but forgiven child of God. So it's number 7 on our list here this
greatly
morning.
Greatly blessed and highly favored, imperfect but forgiven child of God. Greatly blessed and highly favored, imperfect but forgiven child of God. Greatly blessed, highly favored, imperfect but forgiven child of God. Greatly blessed, highly favored, imperfect but forgiven child of God. Standing up child of God, greatly blessed and highly favored, imperfect but forgiven child of God. Greatly blessed and highly favored, imperfect but child of God, greatly blessed.
Amen. Praise the Lord this morning. And Tom and I are discussing the book of Revelations, and I'll now read from 12, 14, and 15. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. 14, and the dead and hell were cast into the lake of fire. That is the second death. And 15, and whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire.
Yes. Well, Willie, this is interesting, isn't it? This is the judgment that Daniel wrote about in Daniel 7. It wasn't a judgment against the church. He says very clearly it's the beast power is being judged in Daniel 7, verse 25. And he talks about this here. He says the scene was set, the judgment was there. And 600 years before, John rewrites the same thing. This is the judgment he's talking about, not a judgment on the church, but a judgment on the wicked. And I think, you know, the Bible is very clear that everybody will be judged.
Yes. Yep.
Nobody is going to heaven. Well, why is it saying everybody will be judged? To tell us that it is critical, the decision we make. We are judged on the decision we make for Jesus, or we reject the gift. And this is why everybody is judged. And of course, Jesus said judgment came at Calvary, and we were part of that. He was judged on our behalf and paid the price on our behalf, didn't he? So the book is a book of judgment. The whole Bible, isn't it?
Yes. Yes.
The flood was a judgment.
In other words, now on the third judgment is all the lost.
Yeah.
Of the earth, because we've come down from heaven and now they're going to be fully destroyed by God.
Yes.
So God is actually bringing in front of them what they've done, or why they're lost.
Yeah.
Because they have to see why they're lost.
Yeah. I think John is just convincing exactly what you said before. He's written this to say, don't worry, the reason these people are lost, there is a reason. It's for what they did.
Yes,
it's the decisions they made.
Yep.
I don't believe this is a literal judgment where they're all going to stand up and God's going to start getting books out and spending I don't know how long going through every person with everything they ever said.
Well, I think God's got the most up-to-date technology, Tom. You know, I mean, he said on his second coming that every eye will see him.
Yeah.
And I'm not quite sure how he'll do that, but God will bring everything into mind, I suppose, of what they've done.
See, my point is the judgment is already completed. Now, John is saying this not as a literal stand up one at a time
for
hundreds of millions of people, and we're going to talk about everything you did wrong in your life. Yeah, the Bible says in another place, every thought and every deed is recorded against you.
Yes.
He's just trying to make us realize how serious our decisions are and how long lasting they are.
Yes.
And I think John's giving us a picture here of an earthly court scene in a heavenly idea. God is just, because he says here very clearly that all those who are going into the lake of fire, all those who have the second death, and he sums us up totally here. And this is why I don't believe this is a literal judgment. If anyone's name is not found in the book of life, he's going to the lake of fire. That's the judgment. Either we've accepted Christ and had our name written in the book of life, or we haven't. He gives this picture of answering for everything we did wrong, but that's not the reason we're not going to heaven.
No.
That's just showing us God is just.
Well, the judgment's already made before we went to heaven, because everybody, the dead, is dead except the devil.
That's right.
Hell's angels, you know.
That's right. It's over, isn't it?
Yes.
So we can take tremendous comfort out of this. God is just. This is what you were saying before. John the Revelator has written this for us to show that God is just. There is a reason why these people are not going to have eternal life.
Yes.
It's because of what they've chosen.
They didn't accept the gift.
And so he teases that right out by saying the books are open. Here's all the stuff that they chose.
Yes. And we've been talking about the judgments, the second coming of Jesus, but if we remember back before the second coming of Christ, the warnings given out, Tom.
Yes.
The first angel, second angel,
third angel's message.
And now's the time for us to get to know God, worship Him.
Well,
because the hour of His judgments has come.
Yeah, we shared the three angels' message, didn't we? Part of that message is now is the time of judgment. Not here, right now. When the gospel's preached.
Yes. I think we have to come back to this, Tom. This is a very good topic.
Yeah.
We're running out of time. And, you know, you're listening this morning to Call to Worship, Fresh FM 104.8 Nelson with Willie and Tom. And we'd leave you this morning with a beautiful song that reflects God's love, the love of God.
The podcast you just listened to was a live recording of a radio show, first broadcast on Fresh FM, the Top of the South's community access media station, with support from New Zealand On Air. The funding of Access Media makes these podcasts possible. To find similar programs by other community access media stations, go online to accessmedia.nz. If you or your group would like to know more about how you can have a program on our station, please contact us. Visit our website, freshfm.net, for our contact details.